What's in your wallet? Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I don't know how it was in your family, but, you know, Jesus, by the way, talks about money probably more than he talks about anything else. And we sort of don't even talk about the fact that Jesus talks about it. But in Luke's chapters 12 on until we get to the Passion, he really talks a lot about money because Jesus knew where our fears were, where everything stemmed from. Now, I don't know how it was in your family, but we never talked about money, ever, ever, ever. Taboo, off limits. I could tell you I had no idea how much money my parents made. She always said, it's none of your business. So how did I learn about money? Well, I learned in school. Thank goodness for that, because otherwise I wouldn't have learned how to do a single thing. About 6 months after my father died, it was their birthday. So my mother and father shared the same birthday. It was November 12th. He was born in 1919, and she was born in 1926, 7 years apart, the same day. So as the day is approaching, Carl and I went to visit my mom. I think it was like the day before. She wanted to be left alone that day. And I walked in, and I said to her, I see that you have not touched Dad's room. And she didn't. At that point, it was more comfortable for them to be sleeping in separate rooms, and she didn't. She left everything exactly the way it was the day he died. He had a massive heart attack. And so it was, you know, just everything. As a matter of fact, she was wearing his shirts that were in the closet because she liked the comfort and the smell of it. And I went into the room and looked around, and there was on the dresser, just as it had been 7 months earlier, coins and his wallet and everything, nothing touched. The bed hadn't even been made. And so I said, I bring out the wallet, and my mother did say, yeah, I know, it's time. So I bring out my father's wallet. I think Carl had lost one of the pictures from our wedding. My mother said, oh, it's your dad had a picture of that in his wallet. So I bring it out, and I'm looking through, you know, what's the first thing when you open it up, and it's a kind of a billfold, right? And there's all pictures in there, right? So there's the picture of Carl and I from the wedding, and the picture of us and the two kids. I have two stepchildren. There was a picture of my brothers in there. I have three brothers. The military picture of my brother when he had gone through boot camp in the Air Force, and all these pictures. And so you could see from my father's wallet that his family was very important to him. There was a Knights of Columbus identification card in there. My father and my whole family was Roman Catholic, so he was a member of the Knights of Columbus, and that was in there. He was a member of the Alley Oops. Does anybody here know what the Alley Oops is? I'm not into clowns, but my father was, and he was into a clown ministry. And so there was a membership card to the Alley Oops. There was his driver's license in there, and there was a $50 bill. I was like, whoa, Mom, looks like you got a birthday present. I take out the $50 bill, and then I noticed that there were all these little crevices and things that you could stash things in. So I decided that I'm going to, like, peek in there, and I pull out a brand new $100 bill that had been folded up. Really, do you remember this, girl? Really, really tiny, folded up. I said, whoa, I take it out, I lay it out. We have $150. I said, I wonder what else is in here. I find this other little hiding spot. I pull out a bill. There's $50 in there. It's a $50 bill. I take it out. I was like, look at this, $200. So my mother said, keep looking. Okay, I go back in there. Don't you know, I find two more $100 bills. When I was finished, what was there, over 500 in the wallet or something? It was something insane that came out of his wallet. You see, my father was really afraid to be caught without any money. He was a child that grew up during the Depression. And this fear stayed with him his entire life. I mean, I don't even know if he realized how much money he had stashed away in that wallet. Jesus says to us today, very first sentence we hear, do not fear, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This tells us, this verse, do not fear, little flock, it is the Father's good pleasure to have given you the kingdom, is what you heard today, to give you the kingdom, and to continue to give you the kingdom. The particular word that's used in Greek, the grammar, is that it continues, it's today, and it continues forth forevermore. This verse tells us the very nature of who God is. It's such a rich promise, isn't it? It tells us that it's God's very nature to give. And it has nothing to do with who we are and what we do, but it has everything to do with who God is and what God does. Now, my dad did a lot of clowning work, which sounds very funny because his wallet felt like a clown. Like it just felt like all these things were popping out of this wallet that was so thin. But yet, he was still fearful. You know, we think that Jesus is saying, where your heart is, there will be your treasure. There will be your money. There will be your wallet. But that's really not the case of what Jesus is saying. Jesus says, where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be also. See, my dad's heart was in bringing smiles and laughter, yet it's not how he felt. He was living in fear of not having enough. It's not where his heart was, where he could be and have peace and comfort. Probably about 7 years after that, my mother, she took ill. Actually, what we discovered was, once I got up to New York, was that my mother had attempted suicide. And we had a joint account set up. And when my mother was able to come out of her coma, she said to me, I really didn't take care of the bills. I really didn't take care of the account. I haven't reconciled anything. I really didn't think I would be waking up. She said, so you know what, Marianne? I really need for you to do this for me. And I said, of course I'll do it. And, you know, I kind of knew where everything was anyway. And as I walked out of the room, she called my name, she turned, and she said to me, now you will know where all of my money has been going. She said, now you will know. My mom felt so vulnerable at that point, her fear of being exposed. You see, she didn't think that she would be alive when I would be looking at all of this. She knew, my mother, what Jesus meant when Jesus said, where your treasure is, there is your heart also. And I learned a lot about my mom during that time. Do not fear, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What's in your wallet? Have you examined your check register lately? Or your online wallet? Have you looked at it to discover where your heart is? And here's what I'm going to tell you. It's rough when you actually do it. It's not an easy thing to do. Because what God is saying here is, I want all of you. I don't want just 10%, 15%, whatever you tie to the church or what you give in a capital campaign. I want all of you. That doesn't mean God wants all of your money, but Jesus wants you, and where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Do not fear, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's the Father's good pleasure. So what are we afraid of? Perhaps we're afraid because every single day, I don't know about you, but I feel that I am being bombarded by messages that tell me I have a lot to fear and that I don't measure up. I have a fear that I'm not thin enough. I'm not young enough. Just get this Botox and all your wrinkles will go away. Or use this product and you're going to just feel so much better about yourself. Right? I'm not wearing the right designer labels. And by the way, when we buy the designer things and we're wearing those labels, we are paying them for us to do the advertising for them. We have a fear that we don't have enough. But ultimately, we have a fear that we are not good enough. Each of us knows what our fears are. I know what my fears are. You know what your fears are. Jesus' words are the same three words we heard back in Advent when we focused on do not fear. The angels appeared to announce that something new was happening, that life was changing. Do not fear, Mary, for God has found favor with you. You will bear a child, and he will be the child of the God Most High. Hope and promise given so many years ago. Do not fear, Joseph. Take Mary as your wife. You shall name him Jesus. He will be the Savior, the child of the Most High God. Hope and promise given. Do not fear, was spoken to the shepherds in the field, the birth of Jesus. Do not fear, for unto you this day a child is born, the Savior of the world. Spoken to those who were not called in during the census because they didn't count, literally did not count. So they didn't have to come in to be counted for the census. Here these shepherds are given hope and promise. And right smack dab in the middle of Jesus' ministry, we hear, do not fear, from Jesus, the Savior himself. Do not fear, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to have given you, to give you, and to continue to give you the kingdom, hope, and promise. This week, if you're brave, re-examine what's in your wallet objectively. Objectively. Don't criticize yourself. Just look at it and see how you're doing. Are you living in fear or are you openly giving generously? And that doesn't mean, by the way, that you are not to keep anything for yourself. For my goodness, throughout Scripture we know that we're supposed to be doing that. And we heard that even last week. But it will tell you whether or not you are living in fear. Listen to the words of Jesus telling us to not fear. For we have a God who takes pleasure in giving to us and giving to us abundantly so that we too can take pleasure in giving to others and giving abundantly. Amen.